So you can see in the, especially in the seventh point of the mind training. Now the fifth point, it talks about always cultivate the mental happiness. Always cultivate the mental happiness. Talk that always we should be the grateful. Always we should be the grateful. Always we should be the happy. That is the, what you're talking about. So generally, so here it talks about generally here, mainly the mind, when you have the training the mind. So it says that when you have the more you're joyful, more you're training the mental joy, that means that you are training the mind very properly. When you are having the more delusions, more you are feeling the unhappy, more you are feeling the jealous, so a negative thought arises, that means that you have not trained your mind properly. Now the fifth point is said that now if you have a master it, if you are capable while you are distracted. So that means a mind trained properly is not that. Sometimes when you train the mind properly, it doesn't mean that you will be mentally, you will be the happy all the time. Some might you will get sad, some might be unhappy. But certainly when you realize that your mind is not very pacified, certainly when you get distracted and when you can practice it, that means that you have to train your mind properly. So that's why it's a mind training. Now you will see the fifth point. It said that cultivating the mental happiness. So that means that sometimes we will be the sad. Sometimes we will be not that much happy. That is a generally it's happened all the time. But when you're real the mind trainer, when you're real the practitioner, even like this circumstances, like this difficulty time, you should train your mind and distract from the mind, from the thinking, the lot of the negative issues. Or you can transform into that state, unhappiness state, into the joyful state. That means that you are now become the master of the mind training. So now it talks about that point is a very important point here. It talks, Atisha was talking, very important. You have mastered it if you are capable while you are distracted it. So that means that when you can become the master of the mind training, very important point. So master of the mind training, that you will come, that even you are capable of the practice while you are distracted, then you are the master of the mind training. This is the very important point, because right now important point is that the mindfulness meditation become very famous. So everywhere now they talk about a mindfulness meditation, but there is one point is missing in this practice, is that who talks about the mindfulness meditation, they should be the master of the mind training. So right now the mindfulness meditation become the very famous, and one thing is missing in that meditation. What is missing is that there is no any criteria or there is no any qualification to see that who speaks about the mindfulness is really the master of the mindfulness. Now, what's happening, the people who read the books of the mindfulness, join for the one or two course of the mindfulness, they will become the teacher and they will start to give the talk on the mindfulness. This time someone told me very right thing. Someone told me that right now the mindfulness classes, even anyone can give the mindfulness talk. Anyone can do talk on the mindfulness. They don't have to need the proper training. That's why Alicia was telling that who can be the master of the mind training. So that's why he says that the master of the mind training, what is the now the definition of the master of the mind training. So he makes a very clearly that how can the person can become the master of the mind training. But there is no any the qualification or specified definition the person to become the master of the mindfulness. This time someone told me very right thing, that now anyone can become the master of the mindfulness. Anyone can give the talk on the mindfulness. But now because the mindfulness, this meditation become very famous. That's why the thing is that mindfulness. So now because of the mindfulness, one time it's like become like a very, the fashion. So one time for the fashion, so everywhere now they want to, anyone like when they want to listen the talk about the meditation, they think the mindfulness. So I told them the meditation, there are several of the different meditations, not only the one. So someone very new to the Buddhism, when they want to listen the Buddhist meditation, suddenly they will come the mindfulness, because mindfulness become very famous. So that's why here the Atisha, it's why the Atisha is talking about how can you become the master of the mind training. But in the mindfulness, they not talk about how can you become the master of the mindfulness. Here it's talk about the master of the beginner the mind training. That's here saying that even when you are capable, even when you are having the states of unhappiness, when you can transform that unhappiness state from the joyful state, or even when you are the distracted, remember? So even when you can be, even when you are the distracted, even so you can keep your mind as a very pacified, then you are become the master of the mind training. Okay, so then now here's after that, it comes about the commitments of the mind training practice. Okay, now we'll go to the advice, okay?
Yes.
Now what is the advice of the, okay. Mind training, all the yogas are practiced through the one. Yeah. Now the all of the whatever you practice, it should through come to the one point. Yeah. So it's a very important point. It's talking of a very important point. So first advice is that now all the yoga practice should come to the one. Yeah. So that means that whatever the what way or the way practice, whatever we are doing, that all the practice should help us to train our mind. All these practice to help us to reduce the, our own self-cherishing attitude. That's a very important. Whatever you practice the Dhamma, when you cannot reduce your self-cherishing attitude and cannot reduce your ego, then your Dhamma practice is not going on the right track. That's why it says that every of the Dhamma practice, what should become to the reduce the, our ego or the self-cherishing attitude. When the whatever you practice, still you cannot train your mind, still you cannot change your mind, that means that your practice is not going the right way. So that's why it's saying that all the yogas mean that all the practice should go through the one means to train the mind, training the mind. Tibetan, we have the one saying, Dharma, the Buddhism, Dharma can change the mind of the sinner, you know, the S-I-N-N, sinner, the Jimba says, Dharma can change the mind of the sinner, but Dharma cannot change the mind of the old Dharma followers. Yeah, it was the sinners with open mind, no? So when you talk about the Dharma, they can change it. But some old Dharma follower, they will just follow, they heard the Dharma, a lot of things, lot of the Dharma heard, they will not do it. So Dharma cannot change them. Even when you try to teach the Dharma, they will feel like, oh, they have heard that already. So they will not practice this. So Tibetan, what we're saying, the Dharma can change of the mind of the senior, but Dharma cannot change the mind of the old followers. One point, so very true. This time what I see with the new people, many new peoples, when I preach the Dharma, suddenly it will change their mind. But the old, we follow the Dharma quite long, it's quite difficult for them to change the mind because they've heard so many things, but they are not practiced at all. So when we were the kid, our master used to tell us that quite a lot, especially when you're in the temples, when you're in the temple and the monastery and the becoming the monks and nuns. So 24 hours now your life is going with the Dharma. Sometimes the Dharma becomes like a very, I mean, the very not interesting. Because now slowly you are getting the boat with the Dharma. When you're 24 hours, when you have to do with the Dharma. No? So my master used to say, sometimes when we meet with so many people, so many times in a meeting and then meeting, that sometimes really get a bored. That I've experienced when I'm meeting one day, meeting with the next day meeting. Sometimes we have the schedules and the meeting so many people. That sometimes, I'm getting a little tight when we're meeting so many people. Huh? So that's why it's saying that the Dharma practice, when you're doing when you do the Dharma practice, you won't get the tight. Because the effort of the Dharma practice is that you are having the new experience. You will go with the new experience. So that's why here it's saying that the effort of the Dharma practice, when you come to the reducing the self-cherishing attitude, then the boredom will not come. Because the boredom also mainly because of the comes of the self-cherishing attitude. When you have nothing to do, you will get bored. When you have so many things to do, you will get bored. So it is something like that. Like when you have nothing to do, again, you will feel not very happy. When you have so many things to do, again, you will not feel that happy. Now, in the reality, what he is talking about, that's why they here is talking about, now you look at the second point. Apply the one thing for all the distress. Distress in the, if you look at it generally, whatever the having the distress or the whatever, and the unhappiness or the boredom or whatever, okay? Here it's saying that what is the root of all this, the stress and the boredom or the unhappiness. Now here's apply the one thing for all the distress. Okay. Now here it's saying that apply the one thing. So all the distress means apply the one thing for the suffering, offer the one thing for the pain, apply the one thing for the unhappiness, everything. Okay. You can apply the one thing. So that's why the first one thing we have to understand that why the distress or the pain or the anxiety, all that comes from all this comes from. First, we have to find it out that. Then only we will know how we can apply the antidote. So this is something like that. All these pains or the anxiety or the suffering mainly comes because of when we are thinking too much of the self-cherishing attitude. Because when you focus too much on the self, that's why it brings it. So the one thing is like that. This time when I was coming from the state to the Asia, so flight is a quite long time, maybe 17 or 18 hours. 18 hours. So then originally my travel agent at the Phuket to inform that vegetarian food. Then in the counter they told me that I have to inform maybe 45, 48 before about the vegetarian food. That means then maybe if I have a transit time, maybe 2 hours, that means nearly 18 or 19 hours. That means that now if I don't get the vegetarian food, that means that I will miss the breakfast, lunch and dinner. Then what happened is before when I went from the India to the state. So I didn't get the vegetarian food. Me and the Lama, we are just having that. So we didn't order. I mean, my travel agent didn't inform the vegetarian food before. So counter when they say I have to inform maybe 48 hours, we were sometimes quite back. So they are not sure that whether I will get it or not. So now that makes me, for the few moments, I made me a little anxiety. Anxiety, whether I will get the food or not, vegetarian food or not. Whether I will miss the breakfast or not. Then moment later, I saw that the whatever is a fine, but I get it fine. I don't get it fine. So I just stopped the thinking of the self-cherishing. That the foods, that's what thinking that I will get it not, so that I thoughts will come in. So self-cherishing had to be coming. So I just later thought of whether I get it fine or whether I don't get it fine. I just started to think that way. When I started to think that way, it really helped me. And then all the anxiety toward the foods I lost. But lucky thing is that when I get at the flight and when they are serving the food, then I told them that I'm a vegetarian. But then they told me that in that flight, they will serve only vegetarian. There's no one. They don't serve the non-vegetarian. In the vegetarian, I'm so surprised that I have a choice. I can choose the Western vegetarian and Asian vegetarian, Indian vegetarian. Really, that's so happy. I was so happy getting the vegetarian food. So apply the one thing for all the distress, so pain and everything when we come to what will happen to me. So when we think that too much, that when we calculate too much, that makes us unhappy. So when I started the way, whether I will get the food or not, whether what will happen, when we think that way, that will create the more anxiety and stress. So that's why it talks about apply the all the, okay. Now the second thing is now how to apply the one thing for all the distress or whenever you are feeling the pain and the suffering and unhappiness, always you have to think that whatever the pain you have to think that also the pain and the suffering of the others also. Because sometimes when we are having the difficulties at the time, we will only focus too much at our own unhappiness, but we cannot think of the pain of the others. So when you are having some difficult time, also think of the pains of the other. So sometimes when you are having the pain on the like that, so also you have to think the suffering of the others. Suffering of the others, and I think that whatever you are having the pain, you can just meditate that this pain, what you are having this pain or the sufferings may help the other, all the sentient beings to liberate from the suffering. So you can think that whatever you are having, the pain or the suffering or the unhappiness or whatever, just think that these unhappiness or these pains or these sufferings, the mental sufferings, what you are having, what you suffered may help the, may the, all the sentient beings to liberate from the suffering. This is the way, when you think of that, then you become really the Dharma practitioner. Because they are saying that whether you are really a Dharma practitioner or not, it depends on when the circumstances comes into your life. When you are relaxed, everyone looks like a Dharma practitioner. When the circumstances comes into our life, then it knows that whether you are really Dharma practitioner or not. Whether you are really Dharma practitioner or not, it's now only you will know that when the circumstances comes into your life. Then you will see how you reacted, how you look at these difficulties. It depends very much. It depends very much of how you practice. So when the circumstances comes and when you cannot control your mind, that means that you're not a practitioner at all. When the circumstances and the difficulties comes in your life, at least you can reduce a little bit of your way of the thinking when the difficulty, that means that you're a practitioner, good practitioner. So now, here's the true action for the first and last. So that means that true action and first and last are most important. Whatever you do, the first action and the last action is the most important. When you say the prayer, first action is a motivation. That's very important. Then the last action is a dedication. That's also very important. Two things are important. Whatever you do, the Dharma practice, first the motivation with the compassion of bodhicitta and the dedication. These two are very important. So that's why it said that the true action, first and last, the most, every action, the true action is a very important. It talks about the first and last. Even when you have the conversation, the first, how you start the conversation and how you conclude the conversation, these two are very important. In the Vedam, I think it's a very easy and simple. You start the conversation where you start with the Namo Ajidafa. When you conclude, just say the Namo Ajidafa. Yeah, very simple and very effective and very good, no? They're saying the name of the Buddha. Yeah, so they said the two actions, first and last. The first and last. So generally, it's a, one other important is generally in the conversation, what you do in day-to-day life. It's a very important that when you take the first and the last part, you start and you end. That's a very important. Because when your starting point is the most important, when you're giving conversation or whatever you give the talks, when your starting point is when you start with a very interesting thing, then the, you can catch the more of the focus of the people. So that's why, if you look at the Buddha's teaching, first point, when they start with every the teaching, first point, they will talk about what the Buddha was doing and the place and the persons and the students. They make the whole the scenario. So when we close our eyes, then at least that we can imagine the something. So this is something starting point when they start with the every Buddha's teaching. So that is a very important. Then the every most of the Buddha's teaching and the last that the Buddha will give the conclusion of the, his all the talks. If you look at the Vajracchedika Sutra, then he will conclude with the four sentences. He will four sentences there about Kamara Chamajit Milam Lodata Dujichanam De Tarta Sedrava. This Vedam Kel Yorbe. Now the fourth is a patient if either two happens, isn't it? Either two happens means it's a talks about in the our life when we are the too happy or too sad, these two happens. So we have to be patient with whether when we're having the too happy and when we're the too sad. These are two extreme emotions. When you're too happy, you cannot sleep. When you're the too unhappy, again you cannot sleep. So that's why they're showing that these two things, these are two extreme. So that's why we have to patience with the when the either two happens. That's why there's English they saying when you don't make any promise when you are happy. When you are too happy, you are not normal at all. You are abnormal. So when you are too happy, so that's why it's saying that you should not make it don't make any promise when you are happy. So yeah, so here saying that you should be the patience. Whatever you comes are very happy or very unhappy. So that's why the every Dharma practitioner said when you're too unhappy, think that with your unhappiness may liberate all of the sentient beings of the sufferings. When you are too happy, think that to meditate that you meditate that giving the, your own happiness to the, all of the sentient beings. That's so unhappy, take the suffering of the sentient beings. When you're too happy, then meditate or visualize that they're giving the, your own happiness to the sentient beings. So that's why when you are too happy, think that now visualize or meditate that you will give the, your own happiness to the, all of the sentient beings. When you're feeling anxiety or unhappy, think that the, your unhappiness may help the, liberate the, all of the sentient beings from the suffering. This is the one of the main way of. So sometimes in the life, sometimes the life is always up and down that we have to know. So here it's talking that the, what we have to do. So here it talks about the patience. No? Mm. So it talks about the, how we have to keep the rules. So that's why it's saying the advice of the, generally it talks about the keeping the advice and commitments. Yeah, commitment and the advice, we have to keep it. Yeah, the two things are commitment and the advice of the mind training. Okay. Mm. So that's why it gives, that means a commitment and the advice we have to keep it is like our own life. Very strongly and very strictly, yeah. So generally in the whatever you practice, like practicing like a, especially when you are taking the five precept of vow, but that's a vow, you have the commitments, not the commitments, you have to give it to the very strongly, whatever your commitments. When you take the Vajrayana vow, then the Vajrayana vow, there is a commitment. When you take the Bodhisattva vow, there is a commitment. These ones commitment, you have to take it very seriously. So this way, sometimes the commitments and the, when you keep the commitments, or now here you would see the two, he talks about the two things. No? He talks about that now the guard the two as you guard the two as you would your life. So guard the two means the commitments and the advice. Mind training, the commitment for the mind training and the advice for the mind training. That you have to keep it like your own life. Yeah, guard like your own life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So most important thing is when you look at the Dharma practice, there will be a lot of commitments will be there. or the rules will be there that you have to follow very strongly. Like as I told you before, 5%. Among the 5%, if you are following the 2 or 3 or 1, that is your wish. If you follow the 2, 2, follow it very strictly. If you want to follow the 1, follow it very strictly. So you should not adjust or do something to like adjust with the rules. So this is at some points. Now it's saying that when you're saying the training the mind, when you the Dharma practice, every the rules that you have to be, that is the base, basics. So that's why the every, like a precept, maybe 1% or the 5% or 3%, whatever you take the precept, that is a very base that you have to follow very strictly. So that is the rules. So that's why that in the, if you look on the rules, like a 5% and the Bodhisattva rule, these also rules mainly is the rules what you have for the physically and the verbally, two rules that Buddhas meet on the two rules, physical rules mostly. That like you cannot kill, you cannot drink alcohol. These most are like a physical rules. So now if you look from the commitments, the Vajrayana vow, it's more deals with the physically and also deal with the, some of the mental rules. Last time, as we talk about it, like a 14 rules or 14 downfalls on the Vajrayana vow, the first itself is a talk about the mental rules, like a humiliating the master. That is the mentally humiliating. So that itself comes as the first rule that we cannot do it. So that's why the Vajrayana rules also very difficult because it did not deal with the physically and the speech rules. It also deal with the, some of the mental rules. So it makes a little more difficult. So especially right now in the Vietnam Sangha Vajrayana, you're very interested, but also you have to know the Vajra and the rules. That's also very important. But the, yeah, that's also very important. What is the rules of Vajrayana? When you take the Vajrayana vows, the, what the rules are there, that's very important. So that's why I think in the website, I think we last time, like a few times talks about the 14 downfalls. Yeah. So, yeah, that's also important to know that the, what is the downfalls when you're taking the Vajras, when you take the vow of the Vajrayana vow. When generally, whatever the initiation you have to take the Vajrayana vow. When you take the Vajrayana vow, you have to follow the strictly follow that there's a 14 downfalls. So that all you have, it is very important to know the what you have to follow. Without knowing the, what is the downfalls, what is the downfall of the taking the Vajrayana vow. Without knowing it, then you say that you are practicing the Vajrayana. It's a very rubbish thing. So as I told the last time from the Vajrayana rule, when the first rule is talks about the humiliating the master, this is mainly comes from the mental rules. So and the humiliating the rules, second downfalls, it's also the mental rules. So we cannot humiliate the master. We cannot humiliate the rules. So generally, as I told you before, when the master and the students, this only comes to both sides have a mutual understanding. Master has to accept the student as a his student. Student have to accept the master as his own master. Then only the master-student relation comes. When the master don't accept as a student, he's accept. There is no chance to become the master and student. When the student stop the accepting as a master, then it will, the relation will be break. Once it break that relation, then again you want to make a relation. That as I told the last time, that I have to do. That is not clear how to go and bring that relation. Okay? Once it's break it, that's a one-time break. So without there's no master and student relation. In the if you look from the very Vajrayana point of view, you cannot go and receive the initiation at all. You won't receive any initiation. So this is the now you cannot receive it. You cannot go through the understanding the, especially for the Vajrayana practices, secret practices, you cannot receive it at all. So that's why now the here it talks about, okay, now the patient, if the either two happens, yeah, so, oh, sorry, the guard the two, so it's a guarding the, yeah, so we have to guard the, means that we have to guard our rules and our commitments. So that's why the, when we have, now practitioner, first you have to always have to check with the, what the rules you have to follow. That should be very clear. So that's the rules, what you want to follow or not follow, that's totally your wish. If you want to follow, you have to do it by 100%. If you don't want to do it, then leave it. So you should not do the half and half. That will mix up. Then that will make you more confused. So among the 5% rule, what you want to follow, 2 or 3, then you want to make it clear, 4 or 5, make it clear and do it very rightly. If you just do it for the one day, if you don't, not doing for the second day, it like this, if you follow the rules, then it will make you very confused. Okay. So I think I have told or not, I'm not very sure. This time in the Washington DC in the World Bank, someone asked me about a monk's life. So I told him that the monk's life is a disaster.
Yeah, so rules is something like the, when you monks being the rules, like in the, like a Vajrasattva vow, there's a rules. When you take the Vajrayana vows, these are rules. There's a rules is something like that, when you cannot flow, follow it very rightly, very properly, then it's a really disaster. Then you need to mess it up, everything. Okay, so yeah. Okay, so maybe, so today maybe I'll stop here. Huh? So maybe I'll leave for the few question answer sessions, okay? If you have any questions, okay?
So the question is, in the time of the Bardo, so if one person passed away and then that person got prayed by Rinpoche, Rinpoche prayed for that person to get rebirth in a better place, and then that person will get rebirth before 49 days, or that person has to wait up to 49 days to get rebirth?
That can, they are possible, take the rebirth before 49 days, it can take, it's a possible. In the 49 days, every 7 days, in the Bardo will die. Every 7 days, Bardo will die, and again, they may be born at the Bardo again, or they'll take a rebirth. In this 49 days, they die the 7 times. So that's why we are saying the prayer of every 1 week. 1 week, 1 week, 1 week, we are saying the prayer for the person who passed away, because after 1 week, they will die. Again, another 1 week, they will die. So if they die, if they can take a rebirth, they will take the rebirth. If they cannot take the rebirth, again they will born again back in Bardo.
So Rinpoche, you say that they take part in the project to just have the Buddha's text into the computer. So they have to print it out to onto the paper to edit the text. So after editing the text, can they burn that paper? Because it's just the drop paper.
Question.
So they tap the Buddhist text into computer, and then when they have to edit the text, they will print it out to paper. And after the project, can they burn the paper?
Yeah, no problem. They can burn it. Yeah. Also, when you burn the thing, that all the burning, the smokes comes, may help all of the sentient beings, who are the formless sentient beings. Okay.
Yeah. Pardon me, Mujin.
When you burn it. The burn that paper, Buddha's scripture or the paper which when you write some of the Buddha's task, when you burn that task or the paper, so just think that maybe burning that will help the smokes, may help the all the people, all the sentient beings who's born in the Tisa. What Tisa is in the Pampa Yongshu
Sage or what? No. So when you know that you violate a vow, and then what can you do to purify? That's it.
Yeah, like what kind of the, it depends on the what kind of the violating the rules, what kind of it. If you violated the Vajrasattva vows, or if you violated the 5 precept vow, or this violated the Vajrayana vow, it depends on that. Yeah, so in the Vajrayana vow, then you have to take the self-initiation. If you violated the Bodhisattva vow, you have to take it again. Like a Bodhisattva vow and the 5 precept vow. 5 precept vow, then maybe you can keep the continuation to have the determination and not to act it again. If you committed the violated it, then you have the determination, that the strongly determined that you will not do it again. Then you have to practice harder. Okay. And Vajrasattva vow, if you violated the downfalls, then you have to take it again. In the Vajrayana vow, so maybe you have to do the self-initiation. Take the self-initiation and okay, practice.
Yeah. What is the simplest way to generate the bodhicitta and to train the bodhicitta?
So simplest way is the generating the compassion. There's a simplest way, also difficultest way. Theoretically simplest, practically most difficultest.
So when we promise to keep out and we cannot keep that, ultimately cannot keep that completely, so what will happen?
Nothing will happen. So when you keep it, nothing will happen. When you don't keep it, nothing will happen. Only thing will be the transform, that will happen. Transform from good to the bad or bad to the good, that can happen. If you cannot keep the rule, transformation will come. Transformation may be bad to the good or the good to the bad, that can come. Or good to the better, bad to the worst, this all can come.
Can we talk about our master and embrace our master to the non-Buddhist followers?
Yeah, that's fine, no problem.
Yeah, so the question is, in last time Rinpoche said that the monks cannot wear the clothes made of the animal's feather or animal skin. So how about the lay people? Can they use it? Can they wear it?
Okay. Okay, this is a little complicated. Maybe I'll talk to you later, okay? Because the rules have many sections, okay? This is not that simple, okay? When you look at the monks, they have the monks' rules, they have the monks and they have the five sections. So generally, they are the 253 rules. These all 253 rules in the categorized into five different sections. So now in the lay people, just only focus on the 5%, okay? Among five, maybe three, two, whatever, okay? Just only focus on that, okay? Okay, now other questions, okay?
So this question is, when you talked about karma and cause and effect, and also we talk about dependent origination, what is the impact of those things and toward your next rebirth? What is the role that karma and cause and effect play to your next rebirth?
Next rebirth, only practice will affect. Knowing will be nothing will affect. Karma and whatever you practice is properly, it will not affect only in the next time, it will affect on this life also. When you talk about the origination, what's effect in the next life? It is something like that the gravitation pull, what it affects on the next life. Gravitation pulls and nothing effect on our next life. Same thing like dependent origination is the one of the universal law. What the Buddha was talking, is talking of the one of the universal law. It's nothing that much of the effect on our next life. It is just Buddha, he talks to realize that the one of the reality. But when you practice on the practicing the karma, practicing on the morality, ethics, that will affect very much on this life and the next life. Okay, now next question here.
So there's some karma will be reaped in this life, and some karma which will be reaped in next life, and some karma which will be reaped in the next life. So among those karma that you committed, how can you know that which karma will be reaped in what life?
That's the Buddha's job, that's not our job. Yeah, only Buddhas know it, that we can't know it at all. If you want to really know it, then first you become the Buddha. Then only you know it. Okay, no other questions, okay, no?
So how can I realize the emptiness when I do meditation? It's too difficult because when I do meditation, I'm still facing distractions.
The emptiness meditation, I told a few times, no, it will come in the end of the liberation chapter, okay, Pam. Okay, now the next question.
The next question is, this is the last question.
Okay, fine, yeah.
After one meditation session, what can you do? Because normally in the tradition, when you start a meditation session, then you will do something, you just start the meditation and end the meditation. So what can you do to end one meditation session?
I didn't get the question at all. They're talking about after the meditation session, what they have to do.
Yes, after the meditation session, what do you have to do?
Then relax. I think I told you quite time, no? But the Buddha saying, the Ananda remember suddenly the Buddha's word, meditate while relax. While relax, meditate.
During the 49 days, when you pray for the passed away people, and what sutra can you read for them? And what sutra can you burn for them?
Any sutra. You can read for them. Especially if you read for the sutra like a Vajracchedika Sutra. This is for the purification. And then you can read the sutra. So
when you pray at the period of 7 days, every 7 days you pray, and then in that session, what sutra can you read for the dead people?
Yeah, any sutra, okay? There's any sutra you can read at the seventh, okay? Any sutra.
And how you burn the sutra for the dead people during the Paru state?
Burn the sutra for the dead people? Sutra, this is the first time I heard like that. What do you say?
They say it's burn the sutra. They might think burn about last time Rinpoche did the puja, they burned the paper with the mantra, and they might think about that.
Not a sutra, okay. This is not a sutra, okay. Now I got it, okay. This is not a sutra, we are doing this like a mantra, okay. Okay, we'll stop here, okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rinpoche.